Hello and welcome everyone to this edition of our Chai Talks. We're taking a few minutes to have conversations with community leaders across the sport of triathlon. And I'm your host, Sebastian Porton. I'm the executive director with Triathlon Alberta. And with me to do today are two very amazing guests from the paratriathlon world in Jessica and with her guide, Emma. And I'd just like to start off with a couple of icebreakers. So the audience kind of has a chance to get to know you guys a little bit better. And if you could use one word to describe yourself, like what would that kind of be?
What? Oh, one word. Sebastian. Oh, what?
Can we describe each other?
Sure.
Okay. Now I have to think of one word for Emma. I don't know if I can do that.
Can I have two words?
Sure, yeah. Absolutely.
Are you mending the rules?
Yeah. Magical unicorn.
Okay.
Yeah, I call that. Strong and capable.
Okay.
Oh, hard.
Right on.
That was really hard. Emma needs like 20 words.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, honestly, I'm pretty happy with Magical Unicorn. That's I think it's pretty all-encompassing.
Yeah. Right on. So then the other really all important question is, like, if you guys had to offer a coffee right now, if you are coffee drinkers, what kind of coffee would that be?
Yes.
What
kind? What's your coffee order?
It's always dark roast, but with some kind of like flavoring. So it's like, I love hazelnut. Okay. So if I don't have the hazelnut creamer in the morning when I make my coffee, I say it's sad coffee because it needs to have that.
Not a good day.
Not a good day. It's sad.
I am dark roast as well. I very much enjoy Jess's hazelnut coffee creamer when I am like living in this house most of my life. But if I'm at home, I go just straight black Americano.
Okay. Right on.
Yeah. Coffee order at the shop. Don't put anything in it. I'm like, I just want the coffee.
Okay. Right on. Yeah. So like now we've got some of those basics out of the way. Jessica, can you tell us like a little bit about yourself? Like how you got interested in the sport of triathlon, and as I kind of understand it, like you come from a bit of a swimming background.
Yeah. So, I'm going to age myself here, but that's fine. I was a competitive swimmer for Team Canada from 2000 to 2008. So I went to three Paralympic Games and I retired in 2008. And it's no secret that when I retired from swimming, I was kind of disillusioned, pretty angry with the sport. I actually stayed away from a pool for probably 3 years. I did not go swim laps for 3 years, which is a really long time after it's been your life for so long. But in that last year in 2008, there were triathletes coming into the pool where I was training. And I kind of asked them like, what are you doing? Like, why are you here? And they explained what they were doing. And I was like, I wonder if that's something I could do. Mm-hmm. And so kind of like 2013, 2014, I started getting this bug back of like I wasn't really done competing and I didn't want to go back to swimming, and I was like, well, triathlon could be fun. And so I started wondering if that was something I could get into, and then I just sort of went down the hole of triathlon and just kept going because that's what you do.
Yep. Kind of sucks you in a little bit.
Yeah, in a very good way.
Oh, that's awesome. Emma, kind of same question to yourself, like a little bit about yourself and like what kind of got you interested in the sport.
Yeah, so I was born in the year 2000. I was not on Team Canada in the year 2000. I'm sorry, I love that. It's hilarious. But no, little munchkin Emma was a little soccer player, a community league. Wow. Mm-hmm. Dad is the coach. It was great up until did like club soccer, but like not competitively until I was like 14. And then I had a friend in junior high who did triathlon and biathlon in the wintertime. And I wanted to get more competitive into sports. And I was like, soccer is fun, but it's not my jam long term. And I was like, yo, what is a triathlon? This sounds cool. And I joined actually the University of Calgary Triathlon Club. They were a pretty Ironman focused group. And I did that for like 8 months and then realized that training with other people my age was probably a better idea. And then I joined.
You also brought your dad along for the ride.
Yeah. He had to drive me to practice. And then he was like, yo, this seems like a lot of fun. And my mom was like, you guys are insane. And then a year later, there she was at the pool with us. And we're you're coming down the hole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, then I moved on and started training with Lisa with Kronos and eventually got sucked out to the crew out in Victoria because it's incredible out here. You kind of have to migrate eventually.
Yeah, there you go. And Jessica, like, how'd you kind of come involved with the National Para Program?
So I started trying to figure out how to do triathlon because figuring out how to do triathlon as a person with sight is a challenge in and of itself. And then trying to figure out how to do triathlon with as a person without any sight is as a whole couple of layers.
Magical unicorn. I'm sorry. I'm magical unicorn part.
So I started just trying to figure out, put the pieces together. And after a very long Google search, it was really hard to find any contacts that could potentially help me. Mm-hmm. But eventually I found Carolyn Murray, who's the head coach of the national team. And I emailed her and I was like, hi, this is a long shot, but this is what I want to do. I just don't know how to get started. Mm-hmm. And she was really great. She answered and kind of gave me an idea of what I should do. And so I did. And then within a couple of months, she invited me out to Victoria for a talent ID camp. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the camp, I kind of said to her, let's have a frank conversation. I'm an older athlete. Is this something that I should be pursuing competitively or just doing for fun and health? And she said that she wanted me to stay in it. And she's like, you should move to Victoria. I'm like, no. And then we had the same conversation 3 months later. You should move to Victoria. And I'm like, all right, fine. by July of 20, so I was out here 2016 in December. By July of 2017, I had quit my job, gave notice on my condo, and had to go to Victoria.
Oh, that's definitely quite the move.
Might as well get it done, right?
Yeah, you might as well get it done right. So Emma, you got started in the sport and kind of moved up some competitive ranks and raced with the Tri-Alberta provincial program for a little while. You tell us a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, it was great. I think I was really lucky. The crew that I trained with in Calgary and then the level that the national series was at that point. Mm-hmm. It was that was the pre-COVID times and we kind of still had a pretty regular 4-a-year junior national series and the actual national championships was one of those races and you could collect points. And at that time, the junior start lists were 50, 60 girls, 60, 70 guys. Yep. It was pretty incredible, honestly. Mm-hmm. And there were lots of local races in Alberta, which I know you guys are still putting or getting back going again. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun, a lot of really good community, a lot of great people to train with. I loved Lisa as my coach. It was a great experience throughout junior high and out throughout high school.
Yeah. And what motivated you to kind of move out to Victoria and train with the national program there?
I had some pretty good success as on the junior circuit. Mm-hmm. And then was still very much excited and motivated into the sport. And I was kind of making moves for I graduated high school and was okay, what am I going to do for university? Mm-hmm. And I looked at some stuff in the States because NCAA triathlon was in their second year, I think, when I was coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then I know some people who had gone down there, but kind of looked at the programs down there versus Marc Antoine, who's the head coach now at the National Center, also contacted me, and that's the first year that they were piloting the academy program.
Right.
So I came out, I think it was the first year the academy program was running here to help start that up. And it was great. It was great decision. Beautiful city, university of pretty much my dreams. I love UVic.
There you go.
Yeah, and then just to train with a bunch of high level athletes in a like integrated training center was a completely new experience for me, and definitely the right step for me. Looking back, I'm like, that was a good decision.
Right on, right on. And so, like, what kind of brought you two together as a duo? I mean, like, one packed up all her stuff and moved across the country to Victoria, and you went with the national program. Like, what kind of brought you two together there?
Well, I think we were kind of at the time. So up until Tokyo, I was racing with a guide who lived in Montreal, and we were a really great team and had some really great success. And I've learned so much from her. And she's like one of the strongest women that all of my guides have been. They just, I'm so lucky to have these ladies in my life. But it's challenging when your guide lives in Montreal and you're in Victoria, and to get faster you need to be able to train outside, and COVID came along, and then we weren't even able to do training camps together, which was challenging. And so we were looking for someone to be a training partner and move into that guiding role potentially, just because my guide at the time was she's like one of the best runners. The thing that she does just blows my mind. But she really wanted to focus on her running, and had agreed to go up to Tokyo with me as my guide. So we were trying to like figure out what are the next steps after that, because I wasn't even sure if I was continuing on after Tokyo.
Right.
You know, 4 games is probably good. And then, I mean, Emma can tell you her side of the story, but we kind of were like, hey, we're fun. We have a good time over here. You should come to Para. And so we convinced her.
Yes. Nice. That you did. Yeah, and the timing was pretty perfect on my end as well. I had actually, 3 or 4 months before, I kind of got the call from Mark and Carolyn asking if this is something I'd be interested in stepping into, was I decided to take a step down from the academy program, and just I wasn't even sure if I was gonna keep doing triathlon, maybe like recreationally. There's a really good cyclocross community out here. I just essentially wanted to focus on university because I'm pretty excited about research at the university, and was really enjoying the school experience. So I wanted to put a bit more focus on that for my last couple of years. And then COVID hit, I went home for the summer, and then I got this phone call and they were like, hey Emma, we need a guide to step in as a training guide in Victoria. And it was a completely different take on triathlon, like doing it from a completely different perspective for a completely different reason than what I had been doing before. And it brought new inspiration and new light and new motivation into the sport for me. Not that I didn't love competing for myself anymore. It had just, it kind of lost a bit of fire over the last little bit. And I was just really excited about school and university. And, but I don't know, it was just a completely different change on the sport and something that I could bring back make it into a team sport again, which is what I've found over the past 2 years is really, really like lit a fire inside of me and a new love for the sport. So it was this phone call I got and I was like, that sounds really, really cool. Yes. Yeah. And here we are.
Oh, that's great. And so I guess even to go back even further, I guess just to explain to our viewers and listeners, like what category within paratriathlon do you race in, and how do the categories even work?
That is a really good question. So there are 5 standing categories. So people who are ambulatory, and then there are 2 wheelchairs, so they're called WC categories. And so for us, we're 5 standing, I think. So
is there BTS 1 or is it just 2 through 5?
I'm sorry, there's 3 standing. I don't know, there's a lot of standing.
That's just based
on... I'm the worst, so I'm really bad at this because like I just go and I race and I get really excited about that stuff. I know other people who are like totally into like, so we have PTS 2 is standing, PTS 3, 4, and 5 are standing. Yeah, so there's 5 plus VI. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's 5. So there are 5 standing. Yes, okay. So we're considered VI, which stands for visually impaired. Mm-hmm. We race anyone who has a visual disability. Okay. So I'm completely blind. So I would be considered having the most significant disability out of that category. Mm-hmm. And then we, other people are B2s to B3s. So we have B1, which is me, B2, B3. B2 is kind of in the middle. B3 are people who are usually legally blind. They can do some training on their own, but the rules for racing, sorry, one of my dogs has an opinion on this. I think she wants out.
Okay, I'll let her out.
One of the rules is if you're in the VI category, you have to race with a guide.
Right.
Also, as a B1, we have a time factor to try and make the field a little more equal. Realistically, if you have some usable vision, you're going to be able to use it, and you're going to just be able to move faster just based on the fact that you can see things.
Right.
And so they're trying. It's not a perfect system, but they are trying. And then the other standing categories all just compete against each other. So a PTS2 competes against another PTS2.
Right.
So that's kind of how it's broken up. And so when we race, we're racing, we race with a tether around our thighs for swimming. Some people put a waist tether on. I find it annoying because your swim stroke would be really short.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
On the one side.
Yeah.
When we bike or on a tandem, so everyone that we're racing is also on a tandem, so the idea is that it's like this is a team sport because it you're combined power on the bike.
Mm-hmm.
And then the run, we use a tether as well. A lot of people use a waist tether, especially people who are like a B2 or B3 because they have that vision. Mm-hmm. I don't like the waist tether. I feel like I'm out in no man's land. So Emma and I have a hand tether, so it's just a piece of climbing rope that we hold on to.
Mm-hmm. Right on. And so I guess like one of the most recent successes that you two had was like the silver in Yokohama. That one staff member and I, we were watching like it live as it was happening, which was really fun. How'd you guys feel that race went?
It was an interesting race. So
yeah,
getting to Japan was stressful. And having only done it like 8 months before, I was just like, I don't want to do this again. it was stressful getting to that race. And it was like super rainy, like
torrentially pouring. Like it's spinning up from the road as you're riding, like all
over your knees, like we just kind of the goal was stay upright.
Yeah.
And that was our first what are those called,
WPS,
thank you.
Yeah. So World Para Triathlon Series.
Yes. So WPTS.
yeah.
And so like it, like Emma and I, that was only our second race together. The one that we did before that was Continental Championships. And there were less competitors. It was an out and back, so the course wasn't as crowded. In this course, there were laps of everything plus 8,000,100 pylons.
Oh, man.
Job cut out for her.
Yeah. I think to note too with para racing is they offset, there's like waves going, but when you get out on the bike course, you have the standing class and the tandems. So the males, the females, and then all the standing class males and females will be out on the course as well.
And sometimes the hand cycles.
Sometimes that too.
Right.
So you think about how fast you go on a tandem. Like we average 30K an hour on our base rides. We will race around 40K an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Or more. So combine that with like paint all over wet roads, corners, like other athletes. It was a great learning experience. We'll just put it there. It was wonderful. It was very stressful. But I don't know. I still think it was fun. I'm like, yes, this is why we do this sport.
Yeah.
But definitely just kind of going in that pressure cooker and being like, oh, this is how I react. I
really, really wish that the cameras followed Parasport more, because of the stuff that happens on our races, I think people would actually watch them. Like, we were running around a corner. So we're two people wide. The corner really isn't meant for two people wide. Mm-hmm. And then some other athlete decides that he needs to pass us in the corner. I don't know why. He could have waited 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. So on the inside, he comes around, he slips, grabs onto me. So then I slip, fall on top of Emma. Emma falls on top of the official.
I'm forgetting there was also a curb. So I'm like, we haven't, and it also wasn't there in the pre-race film. So I'm coming around this corner. I'm like, oh, nice. Official pylons, tight corner, curb down.
And giant humans.
Great. We're gonna navigate this real nice now.
You know, and then there's like wheelchair athletes running over officials, and complete and utter mayhem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the comments that we kind of had between like Alexander and myself as we were watching was the cameras, right? And because we were following the race, we were watching it. We wanted to know where you guys were, and it was challenging to follow.
They put the cameras in transition and left them there. Nice.
It's unfortunate because there's so much going on that I think people would actually really appreciate the racing that is happening.
Mm-hmm. Point of having the technical bike course is it's fun for us to ride, and it's also like the bike handling skills that you can see out there between the tandems and then a lot of the S classes as well, and like the bike modifications you get to see on with the different other standing classes.
Even like the hand cycle, like they're down on the ground, we're complaining about the water coming up over our knees, they're getting
yeah. Some of the photos I was looking at afterwards, like they look badass. Oh my gosh. And like the tight corners, the hand cycle, sometimes they do wheelies around corners because they're too tight and the officials are like, oh no, we're not going to widen this corner. So they literally come to a full stop, they pop their front wheel up, they pivot, and they start going again.
Yep.
The skill.
That's pretty insane.
Yeah. It's crazy. People are crazy out there. Yeah.
So like kind of what would be like,
running away from their guides and like running into fences and garbage cans. Sorry, go ahead.
No, no worries, that's all good. What kind of be like you've competed at the WPS level, and kind of what would be like your next goal in triathlon, and are you looking to make it back to like the Paralympics in I guess Paris coming up in 2 years now?
Our next short-term goal is Commonwealth Games. Mm-hmm. They have the VI classification in triathlon and the Commonwealth Games. They swap. They don't have all the classes. This year is kind of cool that it can be us. Mm-hmm. That's what we're aiming for. I've been dealing with some kind of weird, I don't even know what it is, body thing where like I just sleep constantly. So training's been a bit strange for me. Emma's still crushing things. She's like lifting the rack off the ground in the gym and stuff. You know, she's fine.
I'm just building up strength so we can crush it on the tandem. There you go.
So like that's our short term for sure. And then, you know, we're aiming for Worlds in Abu Dhabi at the end of November, and kind of reassess from there. I had kind of thought that Commonwealth Games would be my last kind of go. When I first started this whole journey, my idea was, the goal was Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And then I accomplished that. And then you know how it goes. It's like, now what? And I'm like, wait, I thought I was stopping. And I'm like, no, I'm not stopping. So it's like, I don't know that I can say that I can commit to Paris. Like, it's 2 years away and I'm an older athlete. And so I guess we'll just kind of see what happens. But if I'm going to Paris, I'm taking this lady because we're a team. And and I don't want to go with anybody else.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, I love the team environment that you guys have like created, and I think that's definitely something that's kind of missing a little bit in the triathlon world. It's really great to see on the Paris side for sure.
A really big thing about VI is that it's not an individual sport. Like, it is very very much a team. And I think even people who are watching or potentially, you know, maybe thinking about getting involved or don't really understand it, like people don't understand that that team component is there. And it was an adjustment for me coming from an individual sport as a swimmer, even though I'd taken 8 years off, you know, to come into a team sport and be like, okay, I have to think about two of us now.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And just the feeling of going, like coming from like the junior and then a few like elite, like draft legal racing and then going to para, it's like completely different world. And in the most wonderful way, like being able to go through like a triathlon is a journey. We do the same distance, we're not doing the Ironman, but like it's a journey. And being there like side by side and working with somebody else and getting to work with their energy and feel like see when they're really strong and then see them in like the darker, slower, harder places. And then see them on the other side of that. And then like being able to like run that blue carpet and cross the finish line together and be like, holy hells, like.
It's pretty, I don't know how to explain that. Yeah.
I'm like, I've got little goosebumps.
I pretty much cry after every race just because of like how amazed I am at the person that I've been able to finish that with. Like it's just super emotional. It's like as soon as you cross the finish line, it's like athlete turns off and human turns back on, and then you become a puddle.
Yes. Literally, we just like Lucy, just like a puddle. Yeah, just like in massive hug, and I'm like, my heart is so full. Like wow. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. Anyway, like Jessica, Emma, thank you so much for joining us on Tri Talks. It was such a pleasure to chat with you. Good luck with Commonwealth Games in Abu Dhabi, and maybe hopefully we will see you in Paris.
Maybe we'll
see.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
No problem.
Wonderful. Yeah.